We love the Lord tonight because He loved us so much that He gave His life. He died on the cross for us, give us salvation. I certainly appreciate that. I was reading a little article in this book. I don't know whether any of you have ever read it, Lectures to My Students from Spurgeon. Some interesting material here. I just want to read a couple little things. Our pastor, Pastor Brainerd, he's a man of the book. He loves the Bible and he knows his Bible. And I just wanted to mention this. He doesn't get up here and do any blowing, but we can. We can. And I just want to read this little article that beware of the man of the book. He's a terrible antagonist. A man who has his Bible at his fingers' ends and in his heart's core is a champion in our Israel. You cannot compete with him. You may have an armory of weapons, but his scriptural knowledge will overcome you. For it is a sword like that of Goliath, of which David said, "There is none like it." The gracious William Romaine, I believe, Romaine was a church divine, Church of England. He was born in 1714, so way back there. He mentions Romaine. I believe in the latter part of his life put away all his books and read nothing at all but the Bible. He was a scholarly man, yet he was monopolized by the one book and was made mighty by it. If we are driven to do the same by necessity, let us recollect that some have done it by choice. Let us not bemoan our lot, for the scriptures will be sweeter than honey to our taste and will make us wiser than the ancients. The book, the Bible. I hope that you revel in the Bible. When you get studying the Bible, it's hard to stop. Time goes by so fast, so quickly. And I just appreciate our pastor. When we come here and he preaches to us and teaches us, it goes so fast. The time goes so fast. I just can't hardly get up out of the pew. We could go. Do you know when we were in Indonesia and we were in a little church interior, there were four preachers and we sat on the floor and crossed our legs on the floor and went through four preachers, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours, till our whole body was sleeping right up to about here. But they just revel, they just love the scripture, the little bit that they have sometimes, and the preachers that come from distances to teach them. And I certainly appreciate good Bible teaching that we have here. I want to read the little composition that Johnny, the little kid in school, the 10-year-old, and this is his essay, Johnny's essay on love. Love is the theme. Remember last time in the epistles of John, the writer of the gospel and the epistles, he just loved that word love. He loved the Lord a lot. And when we read those epistles and read, we just can't help but this John who leaned on Jesus' bosom. And I want to do the same. I want to, you know, when we get to heaven, what do we do? What do we do, Lud, when we get to heaven? We want to know more. We want to see the Lord. We will see the Lord. We want to hang around with Him. We just want to lean on Him. I want to be with Him. I want to know more about Him. And this is Johnny's essay. 10-year-old Johnny had to write a composition on love. This is it. Love is something that makes two people think they're pretty when nobody else does. It also makes them sit close together on a bench when there's plenty of room on both ends. Love is something that young people have, but that old people don't have, because it is all about dimples and starlight eyes and curls that old folks don't have. It is something that makes two people very quiet when you are around. Also very quiet when you ain't, only in a different way. When they talk, it's all about dreams and roses, and it says moonshine here. You know what he means. When I grow up, I'm not going to fall in love. But if I do, she's got to let me say what to do and let me run the whole show. And that's all I know about love till I grow up. You know, it's interesting. But he didn't know anything about agape love, did he? He didn't know anything about agape love. And you know what? A person that's not saved, not born again, not been justified, not doesn't know the Lord as his Savior, cannot know agape love. That is an impossibility. They don't have the love of God in their hearts. They don't know agape love because agape love originates in God. If a person does have that love, the Bible's clear in the epistles. If you do have that love, and it shows, it manifests that you love God. That you love God, and He's your Father. You're a child of His. You love the brethren. It also says you love the brethren. That's an indication that you love God and that you're a child of God. Well, last time we went through a number of little things, and I left you with two or three suggestions, and we didn't cover them. And I just want to go over them quickly because there are a couple other things tonight that I thought that I'd mention. We want to consider the theme again of this agape love. Only those who through salvation have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them can experience agape, the love of God. It is only given as a fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the one who gives this agape love. The Bible's clear. If you don't have this love, you don't know God. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. A lot of us have learned 1 John 4, 7 and 8 off by heart. Remember, there are Christians who have not been careful. Remember last time we mentioned about this love and that you could lose it. And there are Christians today that have not been careful to encourage it and nourish the love, agape love, and they can let it go. They can lose it. Not talking about losing salvation, but they can become cold. Revelation chapter 3 is clear on that. The church at Ephesus, they had lost their first love, their intense love for the Lord. That's what I think it means. Well, I mentioned last time that this God's love produces confidence. Didn't get into it much, but mentioned it. Confidence that we don't face future judgment. John tells us that in 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness or confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world." In that day, we won't face judgment for sin. Christians will not face judgment for sin, and we have that confidence. We have that boldness and confidence to know that we will not face it. We've passed from death unto life. John mentions that in John chapter 5, in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24. We've passed from death unto life, and we do not face it. We have that confidence. God's love in our hearts, knowing that we know Him, gives us that confidence. Confidence in prayer. 1 John 5:15 says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." We ask the Lord in prayer, according to His will, the things that He desires and that we desire. We're walking with the Lord. We love the Lord. We know what pleases Him. We know what pleases Him. And then we have that confidence that He will answer and provide. The third confidence or boldness is in witnessing. I like to go back to the book of Acts when we consider confidence in witnessing. And that's our job today, is to be a witness and a testimony in the world. And to know God's love and agape love, we can be a witness and a testimony. If we're cold and we're not walking close to the Lord, don't even bother witnessing to somebody. Don't even bother trying to be a testimony. You won't have a testimony without having God's love. A lot of times in my lifetime, I can recall knocking on doors. I can recall doing it in the flesh. doing it as a duty, doing it because others are doing it, away we go, every Monday night, you know. Don't even do it, because it's just in the flesh. Unless we love the Lord, unless we're walking with the Lord and have that agape love and the love for the lost. Confidence and boldness in witnessing. Paul and Barnabas, it says they waxed bold. They were chosen out in Acts 13, sent out. And it tells us in Acts 13, verse 46, that they waxed bold in there. There are a number of times when Paul was bold in his witnessing. There were a number of times. We haven't got time to mention all the times. In chapter 14 of Acts, verse 3, it mentions again when they were expelled from Iconium on their trip, and they spoke boldly of the Lord, it says. We have confidence and not to be ashamed at his coming. When the Lord comes back, we need not be ashamed. We have confidence. If we walk in with the Lord and love the Lord and daily serve him and please him, and that love in our hearts, we won't be ashamed when we see him. We'll have that confidence and not the shame. Well, we mentioned the confidence. I mentioned comprehending love last time. Real quickly, I just mentioned those terms, I think. Comprehending love, to know the love of God, to know God. The book of Ephesians is pretty interesting. All the blessings we have in the Lord Jesus, we can know the love that God has extended to us. And we can know a lot more than we do when it comes to spiritual things. A lot more than we do. It's a comprehending love. The Bible says, Paul, I think, writes in Corinthians, he says, we have the mind of God. That's an interesting term. We understand spiritual things. The natural man can't understand, discern spiritual things. But when we love the Lord, and the Lord means something to us, and we walk with the Lord, and the Spirit of God directs our life, we can discern spiritual things, truths from God's Word, and there's no end to it. It's a deep mind. So there's the comprehending love. I also mentioned quickly last time a constraining love. Constraining love. You know, Paul says he was constrained to go and preach. God, the love of God constrained him. It grabbed his heart. It held his heart. That's what the word constrained means. That's that. I don't know that much Greek. We took a little Greek a long time ago, and I sure appreciate our pastor teaching us from some of these Greek words. But if you have a concordance, Strong's concordance, it's pretty interesting. Or Vine's even is all right. Strong is for the strong, they say. But crude for the crude, young for the young. Is that what they say? That the word is soon echo, and it just means to hold, to have. We're constrained by the love of God. It's a constraining love. A Christian who is walking with the Lord and loves the Lord sincerely and intensely, the heartstrings are going to be, we're going to be constrained to open our mouth, to witness, to do what the Lord wants us to do. We'll be alive. So many churches, little churches, big churches, are so dead, you know. I remember years ago when I was building houses and driving in the pickup truck, and I stopped beside a huge church, a beautiful, beautiful stone building. And the front door was open. I walked in. There was no one there. And it smelt like death. It just smelt like old, old death. I could just imagine what went on in that place. Cold, cold as ice. But we can get that way. We have to be careful. We can lose our intense love for the Lord. And in the third chapter of Revelation, God says, you need to repent because it's sin. You need to repent. The church repent? No, individuals. People repent. We repent. It's sin to not love the Lord intensely as a Christian. Constraining love. 2 Corinthians 5. I think we should flip there now. I got a number of things I want to, I'm so slow, I know I am, sorry about that, but 2 Corinthians 5, I want to read a few verses. 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not for our sin, okay? That everyone may receive the thing that's done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror, listen to this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves, Paul says, again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we beside ourselves, that's interesting, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. It's an interesting portion of Scripture. And did you notice that? It says, for whether we be beside ourselves. Paul was, do you remember when he come before Festus and Felix and King Agrippa? Paul, you're beside yourself. You're mad. Too much learning has made you mad. Do you remember the Lord Jesus? And they said, he's Beelzebub. He's mad. He's got a devil. The Lord constrains us to be a witness and a testimony. I wonder how much we could take. I wonder how much of this derision that we could take. I wonder what we could take today. Could we take someone slamming the door on us? Could we take someone saying, oh, you're crazy. You're a fundamentalist. They'll say that to you. We've had them say that. Well, that's all right. You know what a fundamentalist is, don't you? A fundamentalist is not passive. A fundamentalist is active. He will speak up at the right time. He'll say what he believes. Paul would speak up, and then they called him, oh, he's mad. Too much learning has made you mad. You've been reading too much. You've been studying too much, Paul. The love of God constrained Paul to be a missionary, to be a witness and a testimony, and no matter what. No matter what. Well, someone wrote these few lines some years ago, and I picked them up, and I learned them a long time ago, and they're always with me. They go like this: fools for Christ, may it ever be said of those who follow thee, the wise of earth ne'er understand what draws the saints to yonder's land. Fools for Christ, how blessed the thought to know someday 'twill be the lot of those who suffer here to live and reign with him eternally. And that, do we suffer? Not at all. Not at all for the Lord. But the more we love the Lord, the more we'll be constrained to testify for him and to live for him and testify of him and spread the gospel. It's a constraining love. Well, I want to mention two or three other things now, further than last time. God's love is therapeutic. God's love is curative. I want to mention this. First John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. We've learned these verses too, haven't we? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And verse 3, and every person, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We love the Lord. We love the Lord intensely. What'll we do? Well, it says purify himself. Well, through the Spirit of God. The old carnal nature, the old man can't do anything spiritually, but the Spirit of God can. But if we love the Lord intensely, we will. We will prepare. We will prepare. It says, every man that hath this hope in him, prepare. What hope? Of seeing the Lord Jesus, of meeting him when he comes back. Am I going to be ready? If I love him a lot, I will. If I love him a lot, I will. I'll wait, and I'll wait in anticipation, earnest anticipation for the Lord, and I will do what I can in loving him to clean up my life, to walk right, to be ready. When we were kids, my dad worked out of town, out of the city, and just when we were little kids, you know, when I was a little thing, 3 and 4 years old, can you remember that? I can. I remember when I was. I remember a lot of things about 2 and 3 and 4 years old. I remember going to school when I was 5, and my teacher was a Christian, and her name was Miss Cottontail. She was a nice teacher. But I remember before going to school, sitting in the kitchen at our home, where Mom could see us watch. And I had a cardboard box with toys and stuff in it, you know, and I had it piled up. And to do something different, I'd take it and empty it out and see what I had in there. Some of you would have done that. See what you have in there. Oh, you always see something new in there. You always find something interesting. And then Mom would say, all right, clean up your toys. Get ready. Dad's going to be home in a few minutes. When Dad comes home, we want everything cleaned up. He doesn't want to come and see a mess. He wants to be ready. And so we get things cleaned up. It's the same idea. That's a simple little idea, but it's the same idea. If you believe, trust the Lord, if you love the Lord, and you know that he's going to return, and he could return any time, get things cleaned up. We want to be ready. We don't want to be ashamed when he comes. It's therapeutic. It's curative. We'll clean some things up in our lives if we love the Lord a lot. For people who don't love the Lord a lot, they're just going through the motions, and they're really not that interested. They don't think about the Lord's return every day. Do you think about the Lord's return every day? Every day he could come back. He could come back. He said he's going to. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house many mansions. If I were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back, take you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. He's going to come back. He promised. And we want to be ready. God's love, agape love in our hearts, is therapeutic. It's curative. It'll help us clean up the mess. It'll help us put our lives in order. We'll be concerned about it. We'll be concerned about it. Just as we are justified and saved by the working of the Holy Spirit, so we can only become cleansed by the Spirit of God. Not the old nature. We can't manufacture it ourselves. It's in trusting the Spirit of God to help us to live pure and clean lives to meet the Lord Jesus. The flesh and the old nature has no part in it. Here's an interesting one. Now, this was in my notes before we went out for dinner today. When we go out for lunch, we get into some interesting discussions, and they're good for us. It's good to talk about spiritual things and scripture, this agape love is a love that hates. It's a love that hates. I'll tell you, if you love the Lord a lot, intensely, you'll hate evil a lot. As you love the Lord, so you'll hate evil. You don't love the Lord much, doesn't matter to you, let it go by. The evil that we see. And that's important. And it's so important today, because there's so much evil around us. And don't call us fundamentalists if we won't speak up and if we won't answer to that evil. You talk about militancy. That's what militancy is. Speaking up at the right time and not putting up with a lot of things we see and hear and do. And our TV sets are so bad today. They are so bad that it's a love that hates. Notice 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So here we have the loving of God and the loving of the world. Okay. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. To love the Lord is to hate evil. To love the Lord is to hate evil. Evil systems. I hate evil systems. We have so many evil systems and religions around us where Islam is horrible. I've seen it close hand. I've lived in the home where the Muslims live. And the kids are brought up on the Quran. It's evil. Do you know folks, when the few short years we lived in Indonesia, I saw more blood flow in that country than ever in my life before that. Ever. I saw blood every time I went out on the street. I saw fights and blood. A non-confrontation society. Islam is evil. But you know what? Roman Catholicism, that is closer to us than Islam, is as evil. It's just as evil. They're deceiving people, and people are going to hell. And we don't speak out too much about it. Years ago, men used to. T.T. Shields in Toronto, he had his church burned down two or three times for speaking out against Roman Catholicism. I've been reading lately the Romanism and the social aspect. Romanism in Ireland and in the British Isles over the past years. Also the Inquisitions in Britain and in France. Horrible stuff. This is horrible stuff. They take people to hell. My heritage through my mother. My mother came from Newfoundland, Canada. Her background is Methodism, Methodist. Her father and grandfather was a Methodist preacher. They came from Europe, from the Channel Islands. The Channel Islands are where the Huguenots lived after they were kicked out of France. Romanism butchered them in France, kicked them out of France. They used to go out at night. Read about it. Roman Catholics would go out at night and get their share. That's what they called it. We'd get our share. Get their share of what? How many Christians they could kill. This is true. We forget it too quickly. Love for the Lord hates evil and hates evil systems. And folks, if you don't have a deep hatred for evil, you'd question how intense your love is for the Lord, because the Lord hated it. He stood up against the scribes and Pharisees, let me tell you. We finished Galatians with our children on Sunday. Galatians is an interesting book. The deceivers came in to tell the Christians that they had to keep the law. They had to get circumcised in order to be saved. They're already saved. And want to go back. You know, Paul used some interesting terms, I think, in Galatians chapter 1. You know what he said? He said, let those deceivers be accursed. Twice he said that. Let them be accursed. You know what that meant? He was saying, let them go to hell. Be cursed in hell. That's how much he hated the systems. And that was in reference to defeats deceivers coming into Galatia and telling those folks that they had to be circumcised and had to keep the law to be saved when they didn't have to. God's love is an energizing love. We need to quit. Just this last one. God's love is an energizing love. And I found this pretty interesting. This is Galatians when we were in the book of Galatians, I saw this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. God's agape love in our hearts is an energizing love. It says in Galatians 5, 6, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision." But then it says, "But faith which worketh by love." The word "worketh" there is the Greek word from which, and we get our word energy from it. Energy. The Greek word is energeo. It's the same as almost transliterated into English. It energizes. Love energizes faith. That's pretty interesting. The more, if I love the Lord intensely, I'll put my trust in my and my faith in His promises more intensely, more seriously. We've got promises in the Word of God, God's promises left to us that we trust by faith. But you know, sometimes we just glibly go over them, all those precious promises that God leaves for us and now, that we can have now in the Lord Jesus. And they don't mean a whole bunch to us sometimes, but if we love the Lord, that love energizes. It puts, it makes it work. It worketh faith. It turns it on. We'll trust Him more. A few weeks ago, I sat in the chair at home, get my wife to cut my hair. She's my barber. She hates it, but I enjoy it. And I got to think of this verse. Love energizes faith. Now, I love her. And not for a minute did I think that she would do me wrong and cut my and mess my hair up. Not for a minute. She said to me when I sat down, she said, "My, you're being brave." Brave. You know? But love energizes faith. My love for her, I knew I could trust her. I knew I could. And that's the way it is with the Lord. Faith which worketh by love. The Amplified says, activated or expressed, energized. Energized, I like that. Well, I trust God's promises because I love Him. I love Him. The more we love Him, the more we'll trust Him. The more we'll love His Word and trust His Word. That's as simple as that. I serve Him because and only that, because I love Him. If I love Him, I want to obey Him. If we love Him, we'll want to obey Him. If I abide in Him, the Bible says He abides in me, right? And then what? We'll bear fruit. It says we'll bear fruit. If I abide in Him, He abides in me. If I love Him, I obey Him, we'll bear fruit to God's glory. That's what the verse says, to God's glory. That's in what? John 15. William O. Cushing wrote the song, the words to that song, "Under His Wings," one of my favorite hymns. Aunt Carolyn plays it once in a while. "Under His wings, O precious enjoyment, there will I hide until life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore." That's the key. Resting in Jesus. Resting in the arms of Jesus. Resting on Jesus' bosom. John had it. He had the secret. Loving the Lord and staying close to the Lord Jesus. Safely abide forever. On Sunday, we sang that hymn, "Near to the Cross." All those good hymns, there's a reference to loving the Lord and being close to the Lord, to the heart of God, near to the heart of God, we sang on Sunday. "Hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God." Near to God's heart is to love Him supremely. That's the key. Every aspect of the Christian's life, every aspect, there isn't one outside, every aspect is related to the love of God. How much we love the Lord. The agape love. It's interesting. Faith, what does it say? Faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity, love. All else will go, but love remains. It's the greatest. And every aspect of our life is touched by this agape love. I trust that the Lord will bless our hearts and that we'll be encouraged as we read His Word, that we will be people and men of the book. And we don't need anything else. There's a lot of other stuff around, a lot of other systems, but we just need the book. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for our short study. Thank you for your love extended to us in the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you loved us so. Who are we? Who are we that you should love us and send your only begotten Son to die for us? We're nothing. As the hymn writer says, we're just a worm. We just thank you, Father, for your love extended to us, that we can know your love and that we can be testimonies, show it to others, extend our love to others, to reach the lost, to be a testimony. You constrain us to do what we need to do, to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. We just thank you now for providing for us here in Jesus' name. Amen.